The magic show The Illusionist, Witness the Impossible, will be at Proctor's from tonight through the 22nd of February, that's Sunday. Hailing from Broadway, this fascinating performance exhibits the talents of seven illusionists: the anti-conjurer, the warrior, the futurist, the inventor, the trickster, the escapologist, and the manipulator. From mind reading to levitation, over the course of the show, audience members of all ages will witness a jaw-dropping spectacle of magical feats. We are joined today by the inventor, real name Kevin James. He is known for innovative illusions, is an inventor, comedian, and collector of the strange and unusual. We'll talk about exactly what that means. And he is also one of the most prolific inventors of magic in the world. And quite frankly, has created some of the most celebrated illusions of the last century. So it's a great pleasure to have Kevin James in our studio. How are you, sir?
Dynamite. Thanks for having me.
It's really very nice to have you here. I've heard about this the show for a long time, and over the past year, and it just seems to be a great idea that has come together, and I haven't heard anyone who just doesn't love it.
You know, it's one of magic in general is one of those beautiful art forms that transcends all barriers. It doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman. It doesn't matter if you speak English. It doesn't matter if you're, young or old. It breaks all barriers, you know, and it's a perfect way to spend a couple of hours with your grandkids.
So one of the things I find interesting about the show is that so often we think of one person, you know, the celebrity magician doing their thing.
Sure.
And so the idea to take seven of you, mm-hmm. put you on stage together, and let you all do your thing,
yep.
that's really amazing.
You know, the producer, Simon Painter, really headhunted us all. He looked for seven really, really good magicians from all different parts of the world. We have magicians from Korea, from Belgium, from Italy and the United States, and we're from all over, and we all have our specialty, and it's like a big buffet, you know?
So,
if there's something you don't like, 2 minutes later, there'll be something you love.
And there really isn't, you're all stars of it, right? I mean, it's set up.
You know, the thing is, we all do our own shows outside of The Illusionist.
Yeah.
You know, we all can do an hour or two by ourselves, but they handpick exactly what they want us to do in this show, and it's a big ensemble unit, and we work as a team, and we all, you know, it's like a big family, actually.
That's great. So how long has it been together?
3 years. We opened at the Sydney Opera House and broke box office records right away.
Not a bad place to start.
Yeah.
So now you're in Schenectady, and it's you'll be there for a week, and the show is selling really well. I mean, I was trying to get tickets. It's very hard.
Yeah.
So you still can, but it's difficult, so do it quick. But my God, you know, it's holiday week, and for the great thing to bring the kids to. It was always the intention to make it a family show.
You know, it's definitely not a kid show. Be very clear about that. But it's a great show that kids can enjoy and see.
Okay. What's the difference?
Well, you know, a kid show, you kind of think of, you know, juvenile topics and things like
okay.
that.
Okay. You're not dressed up as like a mouse or anything.
We're not a mouse or a clown or anything. It's, okay. You know, we're the warrior, you know, we're the inventor, you know, the anti-conjurer. So it's... But it's definitely a family show. People can bring anybody to this.
But yeah. So if I bring my 10-year-old niece, nothing is going to.
She'd love it.
Yeah. Right. Now, who came up with the character of the inventor? Was that already your character, or was that sort of what when they were handpicking people, you fit that mold?
Well, they selected us all for what we do, and then Simon, the producer, said, I want everybody to have a moniker, some kind of a character that we can kind of hang your specialty on, you know?
Right.
And if you look at the poster, we look kind of like the Avengers.
Right.
So he said, you know, imagine yourself as a magic superhero. What would your superpower be? And so I do a lot of inventing, and I, you know, create illusions, not just for myself, but for other magicians. And so I thought, you know, the inventor could be a pretty interesting superhero, you know, thing. So it wasn't far from the truth, and it's a big playground to play in. I can create pretty much anything and still be within that universe, and so it gave me a big sandbox.
You just have to wear a lab coat.
Yeah, exactly right. and do some crazy stuff.
So now this is great because I assume you have in front of you a deck of cards. And is that dental floss?
Yeah, dental floss.
Okay.
Yeah, I have just a bunch, a couple things that I
okay.
Can...
And this, I find this fascinating, and I can't wait for you to do this, but because there is, I believe, nothing better than magic on the radio.
Well, you have to be the eyes of the audience.
That's
here.
True.
You know,
absolutely.
You got to describe.
I'm willing to do that. I'll do what I can, Kevin.
And the thing is, we couldn't bring in any of the big illusions into this,
right.
You know, little space we've got here.
Yeah.
But so
hovel.
We have to. So we have to, you know, bring in something small. But when you come see the show, we're four semi trucks full of stuff.
Man,
I mean, it's a big group.
Yeah. Now before you get to this, because I mentioned in the introduction that you are. What did I say? A collector of the strange and unusual.
Yeah.
Is that of actual illusions or is it actual physical stuff?
It's everything. I just love things that are unusual. I use very unusual people within my act.
Yes.
I collect crazy things from different places around the world.
Yeah.
I'm a distant relative of P.T. Barnum.
Okay.
And my grandmother told me we were related to P.T. Barnum before I was ever interested in magic. And before she passed, I asked her exactly how are we related to P.T. Barnum. And then so we're through marriage through his second daughter. So there's nothing in the bloodline, but it's through marriage. But I'm still on the tree and I'll take it.
But you do. Yeah. But it makes sense that would be of interest to you. And that's fascinating. All right. So what how can I set you up here?
People ask me all the time what how you get started in magic.
Yes.
And mine was kind of a little unusual way. My dentist actually showed me my first magic trick. And I was in the chair getting ready for, a dental thing. And he had some dental floss. Now, I'm just going to tear off a bunch of little pieces here from this dental floss.
Maybe about two, three-inch pieces.
More. Yeah.
You got several of them. This is waxed dental floss.
Yeah, zesty mint flavor.
Oh, very nice. <It's>,
So he had all these little,
changes
you know.
The smell of the studio. That's great. Okay.
Had all these little pieces of floss.
Right.
And he took one out, separated it from the other five or six. And now he took the other five or six and wadded them into a little tiny ball. And because it had wax on it, it was kind of an adhesive. It kind of stuck.
Yeah.
All right. So... I'm going to just stick it right on the
So you have
single
the ball of waxed floss in the one hand, and then and now you would adhere it to the other. Okay.
Just kind of sticks in the middle.
There. Right.
Got it.
All right.
And so then... if you imagine a thread of floss with a small ball of floss in the middle of it.
With all the pieces there.
Yes. Yeah.
So now...
And then...
No sleeves.
No?
Yeah.
No?
He would just...
Blow on it?
Blow on the little piece... And gently and slowly.
Really? Look at that.
All the pieces
and now
go back
it's
together.
A really big piece of dental floss.
And it's all back in one piece, and that's a souvenir for you.
My goodness.
For after lunch.
Wow. So now that's, because I saw you cut it, and now we have the one piece.
Inches from my hands.
That is fascinating. And this is almost like, 2 feet, something like that?
It sure beats a real job.
Yeah. Wow. Look at that. All right. Nice.
But we don't do that in the show. We do things that are...
much grander.
Spectacular. And
that people can see from the 20th row.
Yeah, and lots of audience participation. And we've got some beautiful high-def cameras that catch things that, behind the scenes and around props that you normally couldn't see. So,
did you start out sleight of hand? Is that how you started
We
out?
All start out with sleight of hand because it's the only thing that you can afford when you're 10 years old.
Yeah.
And it's in fact, the guy from Korea in our show is the world champion sleight of hand artist, current reigning world champion sleight of hand artist.
Which is amazing. There's always, I guess, that skepticism, cynicism, I don't know, maybe both, that people have when you're in the audience and you're watching it on stage, I don't know what's going on up there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who knows what's going on up there? But watching you do that, and I've had other magicians and illusionists in here,
mm-hmm.
and they do it. David Blaine did it like 4 inches away from me, and I
Well, the best way to see magic is live.
Wow, that is so cool.
100%.
Because it really does leave you in disbelief.
Yeah, if you're sitting in the audience, there's no camera trick.
That's right.
You know.
All right. So what else you got there?
Well, let's see. How much time do we have?
We have about 5 minutes.
Beautiful. Okay, I'm going to try.
Six, actually. But go ahead.
I want to try something. Now, do you play cards at all?
Like solitaire.
Perfect.
I'm not like, you know, like a poker player or anything, but I do.
All right. So they're just all different.
Yes.
All right. Now, just pull one out.
Okay.
And I'd like you to remember it.
Yes.
Now, let's see. What I want to do is...
By the way, I should mention that we are on the web stream. So if you go to WAMC.org, you can see exactly what Kevin is doing right now because we have the cameras going.
Oh, where is the camera?
There's a camera over your head and there's one right here.
Oh, I need to know that.
Yeah. It's okay. Sort of like the... Oh, yeah. I guess you do need to know that, don't you? I'm sorry. That is... probably should have told you that in the warm-up. It's a... It's basically like a Cumberland Farms, you know, security camera. It's not really high def or anything, Kevin, but... Okay, just put it on the top?
Yeah, just remember your card.
Okay.
Because if
I got
you forget it.
It,
it's really a lame trick. All
okay.
Right? So we're just
going to
cut it a few times and hopefully get it mixed up in there. Now I'm going to go through the deck and try to find a, I'm going to get a feeling, a vibe. I want you just to concentrate on your card.
Okay.
And, you know, the thing is, I'm getting a, I think your card is one of these four. I don't know which one for sure, but I'm getting a kind of a vibration from these four cards. Now I'm going to show them to you one at a time. Do me a big favor. Straight face.
Okay.
All right. Poker face.
Yeah.
Ready? So now I'm going to be watching your face very carefully to see if you have any ticks or twitches that telegraph which card is yours.
More so than usual. Sure. Okay.
All right. So card number one.
All right.
I don't know if that's it or not.
Okay.
All right. Card number two.
All right.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Card number three.
Okay.
Yeah, you twitched a little on that one. Well. Card number four goes on top, and that's our last one right there. Now,
wow.
Now, I'm not sure if your card was in there or not. So tell me, which was it, number one, two, three, or four?
Okay, so it was the same card.
What do you mean?
Well, every card you showed me was my card.
Was your card?
Yes.
What was your card?
It was the seven of clubs.
Actually, these four cards are the four aces. I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay.
Well, if I stand where
did that
mine
go?
Is underneath me.
Oh, wow. Look at that.
Is your selection I was sitting
there
on.
There you go. So how did that happen? Look at that.
Well, it's warm.
Yes.
That's good.
I can verify that, Kevin. Yes, it is. Very nice.
You're a pretty good poker player.
Well, thank you. That's fun. That's a lot of fun. How much of this do you – I'm curious of how you work on tricks for other people because that would seem to me, especially when you have your own gig and your own show, kind of a pain.
Well, you know, sometimes I come up with ideas that –
I mean, unless the money's good.
Well, yeah. You know, sometimes sometimes I come up with ideas that just don't fit my style, you know, that I go, you know, this would be great for that guy because, you know, it fits his whatever. Or I'll have something in my act that I've used for a long time and I want to retire it. And maybe by selling it to another magician, it will, you know, take on a new life. I'll get credit for it, you know, 100 years from now that, you know, Kevin created that. And it's, you know, it just makes magic in general better.
Is it the trick or is it the outcome or the choreography? What exactly makes it special in your own?
Okay, so whenever you take a piece that's already done, if you don't create it from scratch, like let's say I buy something from somebody, it's really important that I somehow add my personality to the effect.
Right.
Whether it's the music I select or the story that I tell with it or the costuming, I mean everything. It's all your artistic interpretation that you add to the basic effect. Now effects come to me in many different ways. You know, inspiration can come from literature, from a movie, just hearing a piece of music that just moves me a certain way. Life experience. You know, at the end of the show, I actually make it snow on the audience because I grew up in Michigan and I'll be honest. I have great memories of sledding with my grandparents,
yeah,
making snowmen, snowball fights, And I start to talk about my first impression, how magical that was, looking out the window and it's snowing for the first time and running out and playing in it. And even if you don't remember your first impression of snow as a kid, you probably have some good memories from, you know, making snow angels or whatever. And people start to remember that. They start to pull those nostalgic emotions into their brain when I'm performing this thing, and it makes you feel a certain way. So if I can somehow make the audience feel something, I want to tap into various emotions throughout my performance.
And those are emotions, because I was thinking of this not only has to fit into your act, but also into the other acts as well.
Yeah, we all complement each other. We don't cross over. We all have different styles. And I think that, you know, and I try to find many different emotions, not just lovely, warm, nostalgic, but also some shocking moments or some, you know, sweet, innocent sense of wonder moments. You know, there's, I guarantee you'll see things that you've never seen before.
So when you make it snow,
mm-hmm.
I'm trying not to ask you like how you do that, but I mean, there's a lot involved in that, right?
Sure.
I mean, to setting up that trick, there's a lot involved in that.
Yeah. But, we hide the technique, you know, it looks effortless. That's when magic's really good is, you know, it takes you years to develop the technique so you can actually physically do something. And then you spend the next 10 years hiding the technique so it looks effortless and impossible and magical.
Okay. So I just bought us a couple more minutes because I'm really, hopefully you can you stay for a
few minutes? Of course, sure.
Okay, because I'm really enjoying talking to you. So I don't know. Do you have another trick up your sleeve? Okay. Because I'll ask you to do that in a second if you have one.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, great. So in the meantime, let me just ask you about that idea of what it is like to, when you said of coming up with something for somebody else. So knowing that, because you've worked for some of the greatest magicians, worked with some of the greatest magicians.
Yeah, some
out there.
Of my ideas have appeared in the shows of Penn and Teller and David Copperfield and Doug Henning and Chris Angel.
And when you say, okay, this will work for them, and you look at it, can you see a through line, meaning like your specialty is this, your specialty is sleight of hand, your specialty is disappearance, your specialty is whatever?
Well, yeah, they all have their different styles. You know, Penn and Teller are really, really smart guys, and all their stuff is comedic.
Yes.
And, you know, so certain material fits them, and they're very hands-on, and they really change things to fit themselves. You know, and Chris Angel's going to be completely different. He's got this more rock and roll vibe there are certain things that he would look natural holding and, you know, certain things he wouldn't. So, you know, you have to, you know, you just, word gets out, oh, I've got a new trick and, you know, people call you.
Why does magic work so well in Vegas?
You know, I don't really know why it works well in Vegas. You know, Vegas is just a melting pot of everybody from all over the world.
Yeah.
You know, it's just people are people.
So do you perform there a lot?
You know, sometimes I'll land a show there where I stay there for 2 or 3 years at a time.
Yeah.
But this illusionist thing has me touring a lot. So I go there to do my laundry every couple weeks, you know.
Well, so that's home base for you.
It is.
Yeah, but it seems like it's the home base for a lot of magicians.
Yes, it is. It actually is. They've got a great airport. You know, and opportunities.
Nothing wrong with that.
Opportunities are coming all the time there. You know?
Yeah. And you guys were on Broadway.
You know, it's funny. We did 3 years of touring outside the United States. We did all through Europe and all through South America and Asia. And then our first gig in the United States was on Broadway. And then and now we're smack dab in the middle of a North American tour, which I think is going to last for about 3 years.
That's great. So I mean, and I don't, you would know this certainly better, which I guess is why I'm asking you the question. But for a magician to have that kind of a steady gig, that's nice.
Yeah. Well, you know, the people that he hired, we don't have trouble finding work normally.
No.
Yeah.
Well, no, but it does have a...
Well, it's great to
a
not...
A routine.
Not, yeah, it's great not to have to look for your next gig.
Yeah, that seems very nice. All right, so how can we... we have about three or four minutes here.
3 or 4 minutes. Okay, let's see. I want to try something, but it's really important that these cameras, I'm clear about what...
Well, you got one right behind you, but we can also turn it off, right? Okay, this one is on. This is the only one on right here.
Oh, okay.
It's the only one on.
All right.
All right.
Do you have a coin by chance?
I don't know that I do. Hold on. Oh, let me check. I do.
What do you got?
I may have a quarter. I have a quarter.
Yay.
There you go, Kevin.
Let me see what I got here. So, let's see. This is going to be...
So far, we have cards and quarters.
Yeah. Okay, no more cards, though.
All right.
I'm just going to do a coin trick. Only, the thing is, people think you need very fast hands to do magic. It's not true. The best magic is slow and deliberate.
Okay.
No sleeves. So, borrowed quarter...
A borrowed quarter in your right hand.
No sleeve.
Okay.
100% no sleeve.
That's very true.
All right. Give it a little squeeze.
Yes.
And very slowly you can see it disappearing.
Wow. And the coin is completely gone. I'm looking at the back of his hand. I'm looking at the front of his hand. And there is nothing there. The palm is facing me now.
Fingers are open.
And it just, he was squeezing his hand and then it was gone.
Squeeze tight.
Squeeze tight, and the quarter comes back. All right. I don't
Simple.
Know. How the hell you do that?
I don't know either.
Now, you said
Appreciate
something.
It.
Oh, thank you. You said something that, two things I want to talk to you about. One is how you will get people from the audience.
Yeah, there's a lot of audience participation in the show.
That how much of that is a gamble? I mean, obviously you're in control. You've been doing this for years.
Sure.
There's probably not a situation you have not encountered then, and you can't deal with it.
Yeah.
But it does seem a little risky.
Let me explain.
Okay.
Bringing people up from the audience is what keeps it fresh for us.
Yeah.
Because you never know what they're going to say. You never know what they're going to do.
It's the one unknown.
It makes it fun for us.
Okay.
So we really look forward to getting that person up and seeing what kind of comedy gold they can give us.
I don't know how much of this is a trade secret, but when you're out there and you're looking into the audience, what are you looking for? Like, what are you personally looking for?
It all depends on what the effect is that we're about to do. I do a thing with a little girl in the middle of the audience where... this paper ball dances like inches from her face, you know, and then I twist it into a paper flower and it lights on fire, changes to a real flower, and I give it to her. So at one moment in the act, I get her to wiggle her finger and she makes the paper move. And with that high def camera, you know, honed in on her face, she really believes she's making it animate.
Wow.
And so this beautiful sense of wonder comes over her face and it just sends electricity through the crowd. And years later, I started to think back and I go, you know, that's the exact feeling that I had when I saw my first magic trick. That's what got me into the business from the beginning. That's the essence of that joyous sense of wonder that hopefully we can give the whole audience for a couple of hours.
And it's just just watching you do that trick a moment ago, it's fascinating because I have no idea what you did, but it is, but that's the wonder of it and how fun it is.
Yeah.
You know, there is a way, but.
So to answer your question, you know, if it's something that's comedic, we're looking for somebody that we think will give us,
right.
You know, the comedic material to work with, or if it's a beautiful little innocent piece with a little girl, I want a girl that's got a nice attitude and a nice smile.
Sure.
I do a thing where I accidentally have I cut a guy in half on stage. It's a terrible accident with a chainsaw.
You accidentally cut a guy in half, right?
And so, you know, I bring up somebody to help with that, and I want somebody who's a little on the timid side.
Sure.
So that they react, you know, a little stronger. So we have different things we're looking for with each thing.
Well, the show is The Illusionist, Witness the Impossible. It's at Proctor's. It opens tonight. Mm-hmm. It opens tonight and plays through Sunday. Mm-hmm. And there are matinees during the week for the kids who have the week off. And there's also night performances. I have my tickets for tomorrow night. Can't wait to see it.
Awesome.
I really enjoy, well, your work, and can't wait to see the whole group. So thank you very much for being with us, and have a great time in Schenectady.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. Kevin James is one of the illusionists. He is the inventor, and you can check them out at Proctor's in Schenectady tonight through the 22nd. Proctors.org for more information, proctors.org. Kevin James, thanks so much. We'll be back after this break.